Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Accessibility Advisory Committee meeting today on Monday, October 2nd, 2023. You just heard that this meeting is being recorded, and we do place the meeting audio on our website, which is wmata.com. Just to share a few helpful tips for people who are joining through phone calls, you can press star six to mute or unmute yourself. If you would like to make comments, you can virtually raise or lower hands by pressing star nine. Everyone who has joined through the video conference, you can click on the speaker icon to mute or unmute yourself. If you go under reactions and click on the hand raise icon, that will raise or lower your virtual hands. If you're able to use these tools, it will be helpful because then we know that somebody's trying to make comments and we can have one speaker at a time. Everyone should be on mute at this point. I would request please stay on mute unless speaking because it helps eliminate any external noise. So in advance, thank you. Just a reminder, we have two American Sign Language interpreters with us on this meeting. I would request everyone to please state your name before you start making your comments. It helps the interpreters in doing their job. It also helps everyone on the phone calls and anybody who listens to the meeting audio afterwards in knowing who the speaker was at the time. We do have a presenter today with us, Sarah Myers. She would be speaking shortly. And as a reminder, I would ask for anyone who would like to make comments during public comment section, you would have 3 minutes. Any members of the public, if you'd like to make comments who are on this meeting, if you're able to raise your hands either at the time when we begin the section, or if you're able to send a chat message, please do. Then this way we can have the speakers in the order received. And Chair Sheehan, with your concurrence, I can go ahead and take the roll call and then read the agenda.
That's great, Anu.
Thank you. So AAC members, please confirm your presence when I call out your name. Azhar Atura, Darnese Bush. Darnese is on the meeting with us.
Darnese Bush, present.
Thank you. Tino Calabia?
Present.
Thank you. Vanessa Coles? Rico Dancy? Rico is informed that he will not be able to join meetings in October. Tawan Farmer?
Present.
Thank you. Debbie Fisher? Debbie had informed that she might be a few minutes delayed. Marcy Goldstein.
Yes, and I'm sorry about last month. I was in the hospital.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that, Marcy, but glad to see that you're doing better. Timothy Howard. Steve Caffin.
Present.
Thank you. Thomas Mangrum. Philippa Mazel.
Present.
Thank you. Sandy Newsel. Sandy is connected with us. Phil Posner.
Present.
Thank you. Denise Rush. Ms. Rush is also connected on the meeting. Paul Samelford. Patrick Sheehan.
Here.
Thank you. Kelly Simonon. And Philip Weintraub. Okay, that concludes the roster for today's AAC meeting. I will be watching out for anyone who joins later on. Now, I would share my screen for a quick moment.
And Thomas just joined.
Thank you.
Anu. Yes.
Okay. Thank you, Chair Sheehan. I am...
Anu.
Yes.
I didn't hear you call me out. This is Doris Ray. Maybe I was unmuting at the time.
Perhaps. Okay. Thank you, Doris. I will be reading the agenda. We just finished taking the roll call. After I finish reading the agenda, Chair Sheehan will go through the motion of approving today's meeting minutes and last month's meet. Apologies. Today's meeting agenda, last month's meeting minutes, and the board report. We do have Sarah Meyer today. She is the Executive Vice President and Chief Officer of Customer Experience and Engagement. Afterwards, we will have public comments. We do have two AAC topics today. One is AAC bylaws, and the second is Hettinger Award 2023. Afterwards, we will have the bus rail subcommittee report, followed by the metro access subcommittee report, and the meeting is scheduled to adjourn at 7:30 p.m. I will stop sharing my screen now. And Chair Sheehan, I would ask for you to move the meeting forward. You have the floor.
Very good. Helps when I'm off mute. All right. Thank you, Anu. I appreciate that. We'll start with the agenda. Do I have any additions to the agenda? Can we accept the agenda as submitted?
So
we have
moved.
A second. Very good.
I'll second. For it.
And a second. Thank you. Any discussions? All those in favor say aye.
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 Any
aye.
Opposition? All right, very good. Very good. Agenda is approved. Next, I will ask for additions or corrections to the minutes. Are there any additions or corrections to the minutes? Oh, I'm sorry. Let me first ask for, do I have any additions or corrections for the minutes here? Paul, were you going to say something?
I was going to move that we have the minutes accepted as is.
Okay. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Second.
Okay, good. Any additions or corrections to the minutes? Seeing none, any opposition to accepting the minutes as presented?
No.
Hearing none, the minutes will be approved. Great. Next, we'll go with board report. Thank you, committee. Any additions or corrections to the board report as it's been presented so far?
No,
do I have a motion? None. Okay. Do I have a motion to accept the board report as submitted?
This so is moved. Sandy. I make a motion to accept as submitted.
And
very
Paul
good.
Summerfort
thank
seconds.
You. All right. Thank you, Paul. Good. All those in favor say aye.
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 Good. Nice. Those in opposition? Aye. Okay. And those abstaining. Board report is accepted as written. Of course, we all know that depending upon, we might have to update it between now and the time of the board meeting, but we will accept that. Thank you very much.
What about the minutes from last meeting?
We already went through that and completed that and accepted it.
Yeah, the minutes were accepted.
Oh, okay. I didn't hear it, but
we work fast.
Yes, really fast.
Yeah. No, we had the minutes were accepted with no corrections. Okay, we now have Sarah Meyer, who is Executive Vice President at WMATA, and she is from the Chief of the Office of Customer Experience and Engagement. So Sarah, we're real pleased to have you here to speak to us today and look forward to your remarks. Thank you.
Great. Hi, everybody. Can you see my screen okay?
Yes, very clearly.
Okay.
Yes.
Great. So let's see if I can play this slideshow. Hold on one second. Okay, great. So I think last, it was maybe 2-3 weeks ago now, we talked a little bit about our the advances that we're trying to make on our static signage in the station and some of the pilot work that we're doing at L'Enfant Station. And during this meeting, I wanted to focus on the digital screen system, the digital screen systems that exist currently in our stations, as well as on our train cars and on our bus systems, and talk to you all about how those screens are currently configured and how we think we can make them better to help with navigation. And also, I do think that they could be made to be more accessible by using better and larger fonts and better and larger graphics. So if you remember my slide presentation from last time, you'll remember there were stages of the customer journey, right, that we were focusing on: consider, plan, pay, navigate, wait, ride. And those, and then of course, post-travel. But, and so during this presentation, we're focusing specifically on the wait section. And that means when we are in our stations or at our bus stops, and how we can better inform customers where their vehicles are that they're waiting for, and help provide, give more context to where the vehicles are going. So right now, our screen systems are in, I would say, in their infancy, right? We got the screen systems, we bought them, they're installed in stations. Some of them are connected to our advertising network, and some of them, excuse me, I've had a little cough. Some of them have been only for our customer information use, and those screens, you'll see mostly on our train platforms, and they provide right now a mix of our maps, as well as some what we'd call public service announcements. But they're currently not fed with real-time data. And that's partially because WMATA has never invested in a content management system that would control the screens and give us the ability to put different content that's fed with data. So when you think about your phone, right, it gets data from either Wi-Fi or a cellular connection, and that information is brought down into your phone. Right now, our screens can be updated, but they can only really be updated once a day. We're looking for them to be constantly updated and constantly fed with real-time information. And that requires a bit of a software update and modernization, which we're currently undergoing with procurement, so that we can then put more real-time arrival screens at transfer stations and at on screen on our platforms. So as you'll see the current screen, which is in the middle of what you're seeing, and a draft screen of what we're considering to launch once we get the software that we need to make this happen. So these are real-time station ahead digital design lists that will dynamically change depending on which train is arriving. So as we know at L'Enfant, there's the orange, silver, and blue lines, and each have a different stop list. So depending on which train is arriving, right here in this draft screen, we're showing that an orange train is arriving next in 1 minute. It shows, right, graphically that we're at L'Enfant Plaza, and the next stop would be Smithsonian, Federal Triangle, Metro Center, along with further stops and ending its service at Vienna. When that train arrives, closes its doors, and then begins to depart, the Silver Line train, which is listed below, will literally sort of move up and then expand to show its stop list along with the status when the train would be arriving. So hopefully, you know, if 1 minute elapses, it will be arriving in 7 minutes, and then it will list all of the station stops. And then when the Silver Line train leaves, the blue train line, the blue train will expand and show all of the blue train stops. So a really helpful tool to make sure that people know what stops the train will be servicing, and you won't have that sort of step on, step off little dance that you see some people do trying to figure out which way the train is going and what stops it will make. So we're hoping to launch these screens over the next several months. But again, we're in the draft stage and open to any suggestions on the wording or the font size for clarity or the color choices as well. I'm happy to take any questions on this, and then we'll go to the bus.
Hi, Sarah, this is Anu. So Phil Posner just raised his hand. Dr. Posner, go ahead.
Yes, thank you. One of the most helpful things would be if there is a way to say whether any of the elevators are non-functioning at any of the steps after the one that you get on. That's one of the biggest problems we have had, is people arrive in wheelchairs and elevators or escalators are out someplace and they're trapped. They have to go to the next station or get off a station early or some other thing. So knowing elevator escalator capability at the stops following the one that you get on would be really helpful.
That's a great suggestion. And I would think certainly doable in a subsequent stage where we can feed the real-time elevator escalators status data, into the data feeds. So thank you for that.
Thank you.
Okay, this is Anu again. Next we have Steve Caffin, followed by Tino Calabia. So Steve, go ahead.
Thank you, Sarah. Is the draft screen going to replace the map?
It is going to replace the map, but we will be displaying maps in other places.
Uh-huh. And where, may I ask?
So we have a couple different places, but there's a place right near the escalators that we're sort of trying to fabricate a frame in which we can put a map in.
Okay. I think the map is critical. It's critical for people who are moving around the system, who are trying to plan their trips. And, you know, I've been living here over 20 years. I still look at the map to know whether it's Metro Center or whether it's Chinatown I connect at. And so do tourists.
Yes.
The other thing is, and what you say is great. Right now, these maps are sitting, or whatever is going to be put up, sitting in the middle of the station. They should be right next to the escalators. In
yes.
fact, there are many people who don't realize that these exist because they're sitting in the center. They should be, you know, they should be the first digital displays that people see when they come into the station. I would really suggest you think twice about the map, because I know when I watch people, and when they go into the station, they're not going to stop above. They're going to get down into the station to their train, and then the first thing they may look for is a map. So you might want to consider, you know, I'm just throwing that out. And the first screen at the escalator. There
Understood.
We are. I've had this situation in New York for the first time, and New York may be doing this, because I was in New York over the weekend, and on two stations, I looked for what always had been maps, and I desperately needed a map because I needed to know about the connections from this line. I didn't have it, and I felt lost, and I grew up there. So thank you. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Okay, next is Tino Calabia, followed by somebody's on Galaxy Note 9. Sorry, I do not know who you are. So are you an AAC member?
It's Sandy.
Yes. Okay.
No, this is Phil. For Steve's comment, if you put them by the escalator, make sure they're not where people will gather and block people getting on or off the escalator.
Say that again. Sorry, you were breaking up for me.
Oh, I'm sorry. The comment about placing them near the escalator, you have to be careful not to have it where a crowd will gather and block access on and off of the escalator.
Yes, certainly.
Thank you.
Thank you, Steve. And Dr. Poster. Tina, go ahead.
I would second Steve's suggestion, recommendation. He says he's just throwing it out there. I just hope the suggestion isn't thrown away. And I agree with Phil that the maps, if they're on the first level, that they not be in a place where they'd block people from escalators or other devices that go up or down. The other thing I'd mention is that, and this has to do with the, you said you're going to deal with buses next, but before we go to buses, I'd like to mention that I love the 3000 series, and I'm so glad that you're still around. I know we had a problem this weekend with the 3000 series, but we're going to need them for some time. And the inside, hello?
We're still here.
The inside sign,
hello?
The inside car sign in the 3000 series, depending on where you're sitting in the car, if you look for the next stop that's supposedly shown on the signs at either end of the 3000 series car, sometimes the I guess the bars that people can hold on to gets in the way and blocks the wording on that sign. Now, again, this is the 3000 series, and presumably it won't happen in the 8000, and is not a problem in the 7000 series. But please keep that in mind for when you discuss the inside of the 7000s. The 8000 series. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thank you, Tina. Moving along, Sandy, followed by Doris Ray, and then Marcy Goldstein. So, Sandy, go ahead.
Hi, this is Sandy. Sarah, focusing on this sign on the platform, the digital sign, it's great. I love the dark background. Be sure the font is 2-3 inches high, if at all possible. And I had to switch over to my phone, so it's a very tiny screen, and I can't tell. On the station aheads, do you have indication of, like, if you're on the Silver Line, you know, where you have a change possibility to another line? Is that going to be indicated on the station ahead line, those symbols over on the left?
Yeah, that's what those symbols are. They're the blue line, silver line. And I can understand why it would be impossible to see on the phone. That being said, you know, trying to figure out how to make those as big and prominent as possible.
Especially where there's an interchange, like when you get to Metro Center. Okay.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you, Sandy. Doris, go ahead. And then Marcy, you're next.
Yes, I was wondering, I wanted to clarify, the screens that you're talking about are screens that are used in the station or on the trains or both?
These are just in the station. I'm going to show you more screens that will show you some draft ideas for on the trains.
Okay, so my concern is that a lot of this information for many people who are blind and vision impaired is not going to be accessible to us. And I'm wondering what exactly WMATA is going to do to make that information to us. And I have been a dedicated writer of rail systems since it opened, because I'm a native Washingtonian. And so what I'm wondering about, when I come in the station, you know, I completely ignore all of the hanging signage means because they're hung too high and because I can't see them, therefore. Even the PEDs have always been too high. And so, you know, my question is, where am I going to get the same information that sighted people are getting and not less than they're getting? Is there going to be a place in the station, either at the mezzanine or once you get down
Understood.
On the platform? Once you get down on the platform.
Right. So I understand.
And then in the trains as well.
So. Got it. You know, my understanding is that these digital signs are at eye level. So they are a little bit easier to see than the PID systems. So that's
what's at eye level, I'm sorry?
The new screens that we're showing in this PowerPoint
screens.
Now. Yes. Okay. Yes. That being said, I understand that, you know, there are those that won't be able to see these screens. And we are, you know, starting to experiment with raised lettering and other Braille signage that will show stop lists, if that is something that would be helpful to show. Unfortunately, there, you know, I think that the only way I've been able to see dynamic content be presented to those with visual impairments is through an app like Navalens. And I'm, you know, I will defer to the ADA team if that's something that they're looking at for the train arrivals. And it's certainly something we can think about moving forward.
So the other thing is, are they going to be, Doris, are they going to be Doris. LCD? I just wanted to ask, are they going to be LCD screens, or are they going to be LED screens?
Okay, Doris, and then we need to move on to the next presenter after this.
But others have talked longer, you know.
Doris.
They are.
No, I didn't.
They're LCD screens.
One question,
okay.
Patrick.
Doris, we have other people that want to ask questions too. Go ahead, next. Anu?
So next is Marcy, followed by Darnese Bush, and then Thomas Mangrum. So Marcy, please go ahead.
I just have one quick question. If you're putting maps near escalators, would you put maps near the elevator?
I will take a look, but I assume anywhere we have space to put one, I will put one.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks for your question.
Thank you, Marcy. Darnese, go ahead. Darnese, you need to unmute yourself.
Oh, okay. I like Marcy's idea too, as well, about the elevators. But I also would like to know if the map could be, a map could be near the fare machines, and if a large map, you know, how large the maps will be on the train, because those are very important while you're riding, the people that don't have visual impairments. So.
Thank you.
Okay, Thomas, and then the last person is Philip Weintraub.
Yes, I think Marcy Albion said what I wanted to say, because like when you get off the elevators, some of the subway stops. There's nothing to tell you which direction the train is going into and the different stops. So you got to go through the train station, the subway station, to find a map that might be in the middle of the subway station. Well, a lot of times the elevators are either at the beginning of the stop or at the ending of the stop. So it'd be nice if you could have something right there at every elevator so when people get off, see, I'm a wheelchair user. So that's what I wanted to say. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Thomas. Philip Weintraub, you're the last person for questions, so go ahead.
I was also two questions. One is there also as you're entering the station, like what color of the what line the next train is coming and then for transfer stations, like say what which level the each line is on, and then number two is for the people who have vision impairment, is there a way they could push a button and hit a nice way to have like a voice tell them when the next train is and what line it is and what direction?
Yeah, all good suggestions. I'm not familiar if these screens that were purchased before my time here have audio jacks, but it's let me investigate that.
Yeah, thanks.
Very good. Sarah, I guess we've had a lot of questions on the first portion of your talk. Wow. Let's jump to the second portion so you can maybe complete this. This is good.
Okay. Sounds good.
Thank you.
Okay. So our second stage that we're going to talk about today is the riding stage. Same sort of issue here. Screens are not fed with real-time data. We have a different situation with rail than bus. Bus, we all know, can get real-time data very easily. Rail, not so easily because they're traveling underground. And we're also dealing with much older technology. So there are things we can do with bus right away. Things with rail, we're gonna stage out. So just as an example, looking at the slides on the images on the left, we've got the Metrorail 7000 series screens. I think that they could be designed in a different way to make the information more readable. And also we could do more with the space. Right now we spend a lot of time talking about connecting services, which are important, but at the same time, we don't have all of our data filled out, so it's not as relevant and helpful as just giving more information, right, about elevator status or what the connecting lines are. I think we need to do that first. So you'll see the screen on the left, on the bottom as a potential draft. And then we're going to talk about our Metro bus fleet. This is the screen that you're seeing now on some of our buses. We have new screens that are being installed on older buses, and we also have new buses coming out with screens. Some of the AAC visited one of our new buses and gave us some really, really good feedback 2 weeks ago, which we've taken into consideration. And the screen on the bottom right is a screen, is a template of where we're hoping to go. You'll see that we've tried to do things like clean up the abbreviations. We've taken out ordinals to save space so that we can render more things, and tried to be a little bit clearer and make the font larger to help with visibility. Anu, you want to go forward?
Certainly, yeah, I think so.
Okay.
Love for you. I don't know how many more slides you have.
Yeah. Sarah. So, I think this is the last slide we have, which is that we're focused really on post-travel, and that's to build a more responsive customer service team to help respond 24/7 and take more action on what everybody suggests. And I'm really going to make sure that that happens. I don't think that there was somebody that was really focused on this before. It wasn't their number one priority. This is my number one priority, is to get customer feedback into our screen designs. So I'm just going to go back to these screens and we can go around the room.
I have one question. I don't know where to ask it, actually, but I've been involved in the last 18 months with the International Code Committee on the ANSI side. And they've talked about color contrast. And they've also talked about light reflective values, that sort of thing. So LRV doesn't mean that much to me. But what do you use as a standard as far as contrast and size is concerned for signage?
You know, I think we're using a couple of different things, and I'm going to get back to you because I'm not 100% familiar, because the standards sort of keep evolving and changing. I just know that, you know, white on black is the best we can get, right?
Yeah.
And the larger the font, the better. And that's where we're going. In addition, there's those standards that Carol and Anu and their team members are reinforcing as they do the reviews every day.
Okay. And I'd kind of like to know that. It's amazing how passionate architects can get when it comes to signage and buildings and all that sort of thing. It's hours and hours of debate and discussion. So I'd love to know that, just from the transportation side, what we're using and the standards, because I know that is something that we are going to live by. And of course, just like anything else, contrast for one and size for one doesn't always help everybody. So you have to take the medium in the middle there. So I'd love to have that information. Thank you.
Patrick, this is Carol.
Yes.
Sarah has been coordinating with us in reference to color contrast, mm-hmm. and all of her signs exceed, meaning they're better than the contrast required by WCAG 2.1AA.
Oh, well, 4.5 to 1, right.
Mm-hmm.
As far as the web is concerned, okay.
Yes.
Because these
signs are being seen from farther away, we're using a more stringent standard.
So is that the color contrast, is that better than 70%, Carol?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And what about, do you guys ever look at light reflective value?
We do, but I don't have the calculations for that here.
Okay. What I've been seeing in the ANSI standards, or at least what the building architects are looking at, is at least 50. So that's somehow equates to 70% color contrast.
That's actually for signs that are printed, not these digital signs.
Right, and I don't know. Yeah, and I didn't know. Not being able to read either, I'm just kind of curious about that. Okay, yeah, and you're correct about that. That's true.
Thank you.
Good, thank you, Carol.
You're welcome.
Hey, this is Anu. We do have several members who would like to ask questions, Sarah. And just to make sure that everybody gets an opportunity, let's again keep the timeline to 2 minutes per person. And if you have any time remaining, we can surely come back to you, or you can email me your questions and we'll share those with Sarah for responses or feedback. Starting with Darnese Bush, followed by Steve Caffin, and then Tino Calabia. When you start speaking, I'll turn the timer on for 2 minutes. So go ahead, Darnese.
Okay. This is Darnese Bush. My question is, I like the new design and the extra space, but have you thought about soliciting advertisement, small advertisement that may help you support payment for these new designs?
We have. Unfortunately, right now, there doesn't seem to be a market for in bus digital advertising, and there isn't. There's still this space, right? That's up above the buses, above the screens that is being sold for advertising. You know, I think we are trying to do everything we can to maximize revenue, but the industry isn't there yet. And right now I'm really focused on making these screens work for our customers first. And then once they're working, we can maybe explore more advertising. But right now we're focused on customer information.
Thank you.
Thank you, Donnie. Steve, go ahead.
Okay. You know, I happened to be in New York City over the weekend and they're putting these in. So I had a chance for about an hour and a half to ride three different bus lines and see them work. They're similar to what we just started installing. I think I saw one and Tino saw one on buses. You know, if you're sitting a certain, Sarah, if you're sitting a certain number of rows back, the fonts as they exist now are too small to read.
Yeah.
And I don't have super 20/20, but I've got good enough vision to be able to see right now the sign that says the sign that we currently have. And, you know, we don't need the PSA. And, you know, you have to recognize that people maybe have eye spans of 3 or 4 seconds and they just want to know certain things, right? They want to know the name of the next bus stop, whether the stop is requested, and the following stop, and that's mm-hmm. it. And I kind of like the time because it just reminds me of how I'm doing with my time. But I think, you know, I think the font is too small. I really suggest you consider getting rid of the PSAs because people can't see them. And I asked a couple people on the New York City bus, because you know New Yorkers, they'll gladly share anything with you if you ask. And they were having trouble too, and we weren't sitting too far from the front. So take a look at that. I think a couple other people made comments. I think that one at the bottom makes much more sense. But I don't also to save some space. I don't think you need more than the next bus stop and the stop after that. The rest is information that it's kind of overload. The other thing is New York does something that we don't do, and you may want to take a look at it. The reader at the front is hung in the middle on New York buses. We currently have that, at least in the prototypes, off to the right side. And it's easier to read, it seems, if it's in the center. So thank you very much. Thanks, Sarah.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Steve. Tina, go ahead, followed by Dr. Posner, and then Philip Weintraub.
And I think that'll be the last.
I was okay. One of the four people who took advantage of your presentation on a bus at L'Enfant Plaza. And the few of us who did, three of us talked afterwards. And I have to reiterate the need for larger fonts. Even if it means you can cut the third line where it says 8th Street Northwest and Madison Place Northwest, if you need to, cut that and make the the names of the two stops above with bigger fonts, at least taller fonts and perhaps even broader fonts. And one of the other things we agreed on is that advertisements and PSAs, if they need to be, let them be sacrificed so that there's more space for readability of the coming stop and the stop after that. The second thing we agreed on is that really you need to put those signs in the center of the bus. As it is in the middle of the bus, the second sign that appears on the bus is in the middle of the bus, and it's in the center. The ones that you showed us 2 weeks ago were catty-cornered over the front door, and it's hard for people who are sitting on one side of the bus to be able to see something that's catty-cornered. It should be in the middle if you can do that. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Tino.
Next is Dr. Posner.
Is the are you in full production of these already? I mean, is there no way to change things?
We are going to change things. They are, but they are coming, right? The buses are coming off the line, and we're putting them in service. We have about 45 in service now, but they will all be updated with the new software, right? That makes the fonts larger and the screens a little bit easier to read. That production will be done over the next 2 months.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, Dr. Posner, followed by Philip Weintraub.
Yes, thank you. Sarah, I put a message in the chat, but one thing that would be very useful is at connecting points with the bus stop and the rail. Mm-hmm. And the 42 bus at Farragut Square is a classic example, because they closed the entrance at Farragut Square on the weekends or after hours. And so it would be nice to know if there's a stop. And also the same thing at Farragut. There's Farragut West and Farragut North. So it would be really useful to have that. Also, from a vision point of view, when I look at screens at an angle, I can't read them as well as when I see them straight on. And having them in the middle is a great idea, as long as they're high enough so that tall people do not hit their heads.
Yep.
And thank you so much for asking.
Thank you, Dr. Posner. Philip, go ahead.
Yeah. First of all, for the with Metrorail, I was wondering if there's a way I like those 7,000 series. Like screens, is there a way we can retrofit like all the older Metrorail cars with those screens? Because I just was thinking that everybody should have to know where, like how long it's gonna take to get their stop or their stop, how many stops before their stop, and their connection information, and because I've been to several other subway systems, and like especially the ones in European cities where they have all the rail cars of both age with the same screen, so everybody knows where they are. Why can't they try and do that here on our system?
Yeah, no, it's something that both the GM and I have asked to see if it's possible is to retrofit the older trains with screens, and we'll keep you updated on that.
Thanks.
Anu?
Yes, Chair Sheehan.
Good. We are a little bit over time, and I wanted to thank Sarah for her.
My hand is up.
My hand's raised.
Chair Sheehan, that was Philippa. Philippa and Doris raised their hands also.
All right. Mm-hmm. No more.
Doris will be quick.
The last. Yes, Doris will be the last one.
All right. I'm trying to figure out what happened when we saw the display on the bus, the model. I thought most of us agreed that we liked it at eye level. If you put the thing up at the top of the bus, people with bad vision are not going to be able to see it, especially if it's tall enough for someone tall not to, you know, hit their head on it or whatever. So at eye level, you know, even if you have to get up and go look at it, at least you can get up and go look at it. But if you put it up at the top of the bus, you know, we're right back where we started. People with low vision are not really going to be able to see that. So I thought a lot of us had agreed that we liked that positioning. So I'm trying to figure out what happened since then. So anyway, that's my comment. I prefer it.
I understand. And if the unfortunate part is that we've already ordered these buses. And this was the only place that these screens could be added, because the air conditioning unit, right, is where where we would put the sign at eye level. But we're looking into the next buses that we order to try and get a screen at eye level. That being said, right, I do think we're going to try and do what we can to make our phones and screens on our phones be useful here, because the thought of someone standing up on the bus to try to get eye level with a screen while it's moving makes me very concerned for safety. So I just, you know, the more we could get people sitting down to use their phones to do this, I think the better off we all will be.
Okay. I was going to say, well, you haven't been on city buses. There's usually people are always standing on those buses, but anyway, I hear you. Okay. Thank you.
Thanks.
They're crowded. So.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. Doris, go ahead.
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yes. Go ahead.
Okay. Just making sure. I think that digital signs with that are LED, so that they have lighter letters on black, are very important, whether you can see it or not. But and then also, I just wanted to suggest that you take a look at some of the local system buses. Their signage, their digital signage, and also the annunciators, and particularly good, I think, are the newest buses that Fairfax County's connector is using, and also some of the Dash buses, which are very like the ones in Fairfax.
Okay, great. I will take a look.
Great. Thank you. Thank you, Doris. Appreciate that. Sarah, thank you so much for an excellent presentation. As you can tell, we're very interested in this subject, and you are certainly welcome back to any of our meetings. If you have something that you think is important to share with us, just let Anu know, and we're happy to have you back. Customer experience and engagement is important, I think, to all of us at Metro. So thank you very much.
Hey. Thank you, Sarah.
Thank you, Sarah.
Chair Sheehan, moving along the agenda, the next topic is public comments. So I would ask if there are any members of the public who would like to make comments, please tell us now so that we can take your comments in that order. Doris, I see your hand is raised.
That was from the last.
From before. Okay, I can lower it for that for you. Oh, you did it. Okay. Thank you. Chair Sheehan, I do not see any members of the public who are intending to make comments.
All right. Very good. That helps to put us back a little bit more on schedule. Then we will jump to the next item on the agenda, which, Paul, I think you're going to be up. We're going to be talking next about the bylaws and moving forward with the bylaws. So we're going to take the next few months to go through, how many pages was this document? 17 or so. 16 pages, right. And I think we've done a good job. This document has been out for a while, and hopefully you guys have read it. We will go through it line by line so everyone has a chance to comment on the different areas. I think that I found at least that the document was that we had to work with was well done, but there were areas, particularly in the area of hybrid living that we're doing right now, where we needed to update certain portions of it. And so we'll see, and appreciate everyone's attention to it. The committee, I think that we worked well together, and I'm very pleased with the product that we were able to bring forward. So thank you for that. And, we will, this is a committee board product. So although members of the audience can have their opinions on this, this is really a product that will go between the committee and the board, and then of course it'll go up to legal, and they will look at it. So there'll be some changes with everything that we're doing here, but we'll see where we go. Paul, take it away, sir.
So Anu, if you can share the screen of a copy of the bylaws with the edits? Is that how you want to do it as I read through it? Or how do you want me to do it?
Sure, I can do that if you give me a quick moment. Okay, I am going to share my screen. And Paul, can you confirm if you can see it?
Yes, I can see it.
Okay.
Yes, I can see.
All right, so I'm going to be the verbatim reader here. And then I'm going to tell you what additions we made line by line. And I'll make it a appropriate stop where we can have a discussion or to see if there's any comments about a particular section. And that's how we're going to do it, unless there's any other objections. So at the top here, this was presented and adopted, these bylaws, on April 23rd, 2015, subject to approval. Subject, the approval of the revisions to the Accessibility Advisory Committee bylaws. The addition that we have in blue here, that's an asterisk you will see, is we inserted that was 2015 to 2020 at the time. And once the change is done, that will be updated to whatever date it's approved for the 5 years out. Then back in regular print is resolution of the Board of Directors of the Washington Metropolitan Area Authority. Whereas the Washington Metropolitan Area Transit Authority, Metro, is committed to providing persons, and then the new inserted language that we suggested as a bylaws group is with disabilities and seniors access to all Metro provided public transportation and services per these regulations. And whereas Metro established the Accessibility Advisory Committee in parentheses AAC in 1979 as a way to provide for active customer participation in the transportation planning process for Metro provided public transportation and services by seniors and persons who have disabilities as required under 49 CPR Part 27. And whereas the AAC advises Metro on transportation issues that may affect the accessibility of public transportation. And then we inserted new language in blue for seniors and persons with disabilities within WMATA's service area. And whereas the Board of Directors adopted bylaws for the governance of the AAC in Resolution 2011-09, and whereas Article 10 of the AAC bylaws states the Board of Directors will periodically review the operation of the AAC and modify its composition, structure, or bylaws, and that such review shall occur no less than every 5 years. And whereas the bylaws further state that the proposed bylaws change will be made final upon approval of by the Board of Directors, and whereas in, and then we asserted new language in blue, August 2014, the AAC initiated an internal review of its bylaws and forwarded recommendations to Metro staff for additional review, and whereas the bylaws revisions include providing quarterly meetings between the AAC leadership and the board executive committee, changing the AAC members' terms from a maximum of 4 3-year terms to 3 4-year terms, changing the officer selection process to elevate the vice chair of the AAC or of a subcommittee to the chair position until an election can be held, requiring meeting materials to an accessible format upon request, and that the location for meetings be accessible, establishing an attendance policy for the AAC and both both subcommittees, including a due process clause prior to removal of a committee member, and that the AAC may also review its composition, structure, bylaws, and recommended changes for the board review. And whereas it is best practice to ensure that advisory bodies to the board of directors are subject to similar ethics standards as those adopted by the board in its code of ethics. Are there any questions at this point? Pat, I see your hand.
They can. Just so everyone knows, Ms. Rush is on the phone with me and she would like to make comments. Ms. Rush, go ahead.
Okay, in the beginning you said about elderly and disabled people. If you are 90 years old and you fill out your application and you don't have an actual disability, you're only 90 years old, it makes you think you should be eligible. And that's not so.
Okay.
Hello? Okay.
Yes.
Am I correct?
I mean, that's a valid point. How would you like to?
It used to be the elderly. It used to be named that. And if you were elderly, you were approved. But now, if you're just elderly and don't have a disability, you are not automatically approved for Metro Access.
All right. Go ahead. Denise, what change would you like to see?
Well, there should be a change, but it's confusing to think that because you're elderly, 90 or whatever age they're calling elderly now, that you would be automatically accepted, and that is not so. So we need to make the wording a little more clear.
I don't know that elderly was ever automatically accepted for Metro Access. What the criteria for that is the inability to use a particular service. So it's not age related. It's not being able to use the fixed route service at any age.
Okay. So
if you're 90, 92, 95, you're still driving, whatever. I mean, but if you can't use the fixed route service, that's what makes you eligible. Am I correct on that, Omada?
Hello.
That is correct. Paratransit eligibility nationwide is based on the Americans with Disabilities Act, which outlines that paratransit is available for anyone who has a disability that prevents them from using the available fixed route service, which in this region is bus and rail, for any one of their trips because of their disability.
So this is Sandy. I don't seem to be able to raise my hand, but I'll just comment. Then I think perhaps Metro needs to look through this, or maybe we all need to delete senior throughout the document. We never use the word elderly. The word is seniors and people with disabilities.
Thank you.
This, I got my hand raised.
Go ahead, Tina.
I won't be 90 until 2 years from now. So at the moment, I would be considered ineligible to serve on our AAC. I've been doing so for the, 7 or 8 years that I've been on. So I have technically been out of ineligible to serve or even certainly be chair of a subcommittee. Is that what the import is?
Paul, can you reread that again? No, I don't think it's saying that.
No, it's saying it's for people with seniors and disabilities here. So let me go back up here.
Yeah, I reread that, Paul. Yeah, I don't think that is what that clause is saying at all, Tina.
Yeah, this is Sandy. I believe that clause is referring to the people that the AAC serves, not the people who are on the AAC.
Yeah. Could you reread that, Paul? Thank you. I think you're right, Sandy.
All right. Because, wait, this is the top one about the, the AAC advises Metro on transportation issues that may affect the accessibility of public transportation. And then we inserted new wording for seniors and persons with disabilities within WMATA service area. But there was another.
Right. And so that's our constituency group primarily, seniors and people with disabilities. And that's what it's been really since the beginning.
So,
and then later on, Tino, in the document, we do get to, I believe, where we're talking about, who may serve on the committee.
In other words, it could be that I should never have served on the
committee. No, Tino. We're talking about the people we serve on the
committee. The committee.
The people we serve, our constituents, are primarily seniors and people with disabilities.
And right. Does that seniors and does that make seniors and people with disabilities eligible to serve?
Yes, but that's not what we're talking about right now. We're not talking about who may be on the committee. What this sentence talks about is who is the audience that we serve. And it's seniors and people with disabilities. Now, further down in the document, it does talk about, who may serve on the committee.
Okay.
And all of that. We'll get to that. That's way down. That's a number of pages down in the document.
Okay.
Yeah. So Tina, you're good.
All right. But this is Sandy again. So this does still raise the question, as Mr. Blake pointed out, that a senior who's not disabled, just because you're a senior does not make you eligible for Metro Access. But it was my understanding when I joined the AAC that our audience was seniors and people with disabilities. So I think we need some clarification from Metro on that. Are we serving
on the Metro Access?
Not on Metro Access per se. It's the community that the AAC is trying to help. Can it include seniors?
Yes.
It was always,
I think it was Carol.
It used to be, I'm sorry, this is Carol.
Can I make a comment? I raised my hand.
Wait a minute, Doris.
First Carol to
okay. It has go always ahead, been for people who are above a certain age, because seniors, as we age, we happen to have different we have different disabilities that can be associated with aging as well as, but not necessarily something that would classify people to be a Metro Access customer. But this committee represents all people, not necessarily people who have Metro Access cards.
So it's representing people who are seniors and it's representing people who have disabilities who may use public transportation or paratransit.
And as one of the benefits that has been advertised through this committee, we also have the senior fare discount cards. And so that's been, something that we have fought for over the years and maintained. Let's see, Doris, I think you're up next.
Philip Weintraub also has his high hand. Okay. Doris, go ahead.
Hello?
Go ahead.
Go ahead, Doris.
Okay. So what I wanted to comment is that I think this, the impression of constituency being seniors and persons with disabilities comes from the previous rendition of the committee, the Elderly and Disabled Committee, one thing, and it was created in response to Section 504 and to also the Transit Act, which had discount fare structures for, the discounted fare for seniors mostly. And so seniors were represented on the committee because it was the E&D. But when we were chartered over to the AAC, the emphasis kind of shifted, particularly because, just as already been pointed out here, you can't be, as far as Metro Access, which is the ADA complementary paratransit for the region, the emphasis was on accessibility and service to people with disabilities. So even if you keep the language that references seniors or elderly and disabled, I personally feel that it's important for it to be disabled and seniors in that order, because mainly, our charter is about accessibility and perhaps some purview on the discounted fare programs, but people don't necessarily qualify, as has been pointed
out. And that's why the majority of the
pointed out, and Ms. Rush pointed out.
And that's why
and you're correct. Accessibility is the
And you have a valid point, Doris, and that's why the suggested new language is now senior and persons with disability that I have highlighted in blue that we discussed as a bylaws work group. So that those are the changes that are proposed within. So anything that said seniors, we're changing to, we're changing from elderly to seniors and persons with disabilities. That is our new suggested language that we've put forth.
We do have three more people with their hands up. Okay. Philip Weintraub, followed by Donnie's Bush, and then Kelly Simona. So, okay. Philip, go ahead.
Go ahead.
Hi. I was also thinking, when you see, persons with disabilities, you should also include all kinds of disabilities, including people with intellectual developmental disabilities. Don't just assume just people with physical or sensory disabilities. Also, you need to think about people who have intellectual and developmental disabilities as well.
Okay.
No disagreement with that. That's
no disagreement.
Right. That's covered.
And that's why we suggest it's the broad language of seniors and persons with disabilities, so it's inclusive of all.
Okay. Thank you, Philip. Darnies, go ahead. Donnie, you need to, there we go.
Yeah, I did. Basically, you could read like this, maybe. Recommend the AAC and WMATA collaborate to improve safety for all persons all persons in the metropolitan area. I guess DMV? Okay, recommend the AAC and WMATA collaborate to improve safety for all persons that reside within the DMV, including or with specific focus on seniors and persons with disabilities who use Metro Rail and Metro Bus.
And we haven't gotten to that part yet. We're still on page number, looks like, two.
Well,
we haven't gotten to that one
maybe,
yet.
So we can't revise it yet.
No, oh, no, well, I haven't gotten to that part. I'm still getting through this first letter of, piece, the resolution piece to see, getting comments. But here, Kelly Seminar is commenting next, or is there someone else?
Hi, this is Kelly. A couple of things that I would say is I think it would make sense to include a couple addition more in light of the conversations today, a couple more whereas, where you're defining what senior means and then defining what person with disability is, to Philip's point, and just overall to, in the beginning, have two separate paragraphs, whereas person with disability within, as a constituent of the AAC means, and then make that definition the same with seniors. And to Doris's point, I think she had said, let's make it where the language includes person with disability first and then senior second. So
That is a good suggestion. That's what we were just, when we were doing it this summer, we thought seniors and persons with disabilities, but you want persons with disabilities and seniors. So change that order. Is that what you're suggesting, right?
Yeah, I think that's what Doris said, or at least that's what I heard, and I agree with that. And then obviously make it consistent throughout the documents, but including a definition of both of those in the beginning of the resolution, I think would help, because if us as a committee are having these questions, and perhaps even including a whereas of a historical perspective that's going to lay out why seniors are included within the AAC. I think if we as a committee are having questions, then that, brings to light that probably the public would as well. And so in a governing document, any kind of clarifying provisions would be beneficial.
Well, point well taken. Since this is a recorded meeting, that way I can go back with, we can go back with the new and try to craft that for the next time. So I'm hearing two whereas, one explaining what the definition of a senior is, what that population is, and another whereas for explain for persons with disabilities, and to change the order for saying persons with disabilities and seniors.
Okay.
Perfect.
Good. All right.
Thank you, Kelly. Did you want to move forward?
Yeah, I'm going to move forward. There's two more resolved lines here.
I had my hand raised. This is Tino.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really troubled by the possible elimination of seniors, if they're 65, etc.
We're not eliminating seniors.
No, but
we're changing the word elderly to seniors.
The question has been raised, and no one would see me as a person with disabilities, except the fact that I need my grandchildren sometimes to help me get up or to walk around. I don't use an assistive device except for my grandchildren who do that.
Tina, we're not saying we're getting rid of seniors. We changed the word from elderly
to seniors.
Yeah. We're changing the word elderly to seniors.
Well, the idea came up that at age 92, maybe that's a senior.
No, that's already, there's a definition for seniors, what constitutes a senior.
Where is the definition?
Oh, no, we already, Pat, what Kelly suggested was that we have whereas defining what senior is and how they fit into this, and then persons with disabilities, and that's what, we're going to incorporate next into that, along with changing the order of saying persons with disabilities and seniors, which I just said. Right. So we'll do that.
As divided. draft, but if you're going to define seniors, please invite me to sit in with you, because it's troubling the way this discussion started. I'm not 92. I'm not, you know, I got two more years
right.
at least.
What we're saying, no. What we're saying, seniors, at least from what I've seen, have been defined at age 55. But certainly okay. we can, what yeah. we were saying about, what we were saying, we started the discussion off with, that Metro Access, you're not eligible for Metro Access based on the fact that you're a certain age.
Right. Okay. I understand.
And that's all we're saying, is that Metro Access is defined as the inability to use the fixed route service. Now, okay. seniors, if you're looking at AARP, I believe I was getting my senior card at 55. So, you know, yeah. we can look at that. And that shouldn't be a problem. Okay. What we changed was the word elderly to the word senior.
Yeah. All right. So okay. the group doesn't need me to.
No. I think we're good though.
Help.
Kelly, I think Kelly had a good point. Let's define our terms up front. And we'll do that.
Okay. Sure.
Yeah. Paul, just one more. Dr. Posner has his hand up. Dr. Posner, go ahead. And then Paul, please continue.
All right.
Yes. Thank you. The discussion is great. As a senior with a disability, and the fact that we've always dealt with cognitive mobility, vision, and hearing as our disabilities. But one thing that I think you should add, every section where you talk about affect the accessibility of public transportation for seniors and persons with disabilities, which will also enhance the experience of all passengers. It's something that we have always done, because if you make something easier to read, or easier to hear, or easier to sit down on or get up from, that will not only help elderly, disabled, but all people. Mm-hmm. So slap yourself on the back so that we're not a select group asking for special treatment. We're making it better for everyone.
And perhaps, yeah, we can add that in. Perhaps we can either put that in the preamble.
Paul. Well, or you stated the last two statements, the one that Darnice gave you and the other one that you have in the preamble. But it's always good to let people know we're not getting right. special treatment.
Excuse me, this is Carol Lopez. I wanted to clarify that WMATA, in order to be get a senior smart trip card in WMATA, you need to be 65 years old, and you're not required to have a disability or anything. You just automatically can purchase a senior smart trip card when you're 65.
Okay. I didn't know what the age was on that, Carol. Thank you.
Thanks.
Okay.
All right.
I think we can move forward, Paul.
Yep, so we're finishing up this resolution. So resolved that the Board of Directors authorizes staff to revise the AAC and RAC standards of conduct policy so that both align and are consistent with the Board Code of Ethics. And be it finally resolved that this resolution shall be effective within 30 days of its adoption by the Board of Directors. And this was reviewed and informed to legal sufficiency. It will be done again with whatever, from WMATA Legal when it finally reviews this, the draft product, and it was reviewed by the Board of Directors. So now we're going to Attachment A here, and this is Washington Metropolitan Area Transit Authority Accessibility Advisory Committee bylaws. So now we're going through Article 1, name of the committee. The name of the advisory group shall be the Washington Metropolitan Area Transit Authority, in parentheses, WMATA, Accessibility Advisory Committee, and may be referred to as the AAC. I see there's no questions. Now we're going to Article 2. Now we're going to talk about the mission. part A is the mission statement. The AAC is an advisory committee that provides recommendations on accessibility-related issues to the WMATA Board of Directors. The mission of the AAC is to actively seek input from a broad range of seniors and persons with disabilities, and noted, yes, we will change that to persons with disabilities and seniors, as suggested by Kelly, and organizations with an express interest in public transportation for seniors and persons with disabilities on operational issues that affect the accessibility of Metro Rail, Metro Bus, and Metro Access services, advises the board on ways to resolve such issues in order to improve Metro Rail, Metro Bus, and Metro Access, promote WMATA responsiveness to riders who are seniors or persons with disabilities, and recommend possible solutions to the board of directors and staff based on public input so that WMATA can effectively address the diverse concerns of seniors and persons with disabilities who use WMATA services. So we already know, I think we've come to an understanding that we want to change the word order to persons with disabilities and seniors. Is there any other question about, there's one more sentence to this. The mission is consistent with WMATA's goal to encourage public input in order to provide the best reliable service to all of its customers. Are there any comments about part A of Article 2, the mission statement, besides the fact we're going to change around the wording to make that consistent? Go ahead.
No hands up.
Okay. All right. So now part B is the goals of the AAC. Under B, we have A. One of the goals, part A is work with the board of directors each year to develop an AAC annual work plan that captures accessibility items on which WMATA is seeking advice from the AAC. The work plan will address itself to accessibility-related operating items. B, assist staff in developing a list of candidates to become AAC members for the Board of Directors approval. C, encourage awareness of seniors and persons with disabilities of the AAC and the opportunities that it provides to make their voices heard. And again, we'll switch that wording around to persons with disabilities and seniors. That will be noted. And D, seek input from a broad range of WMATA riders who are seniors or persons with disabilities on accessibility-related items. E, promote meaningful public participation in WMATA decision-making processes on accessibility-related items. F, encourage an open decision-making process by WMATA that clearly reflects the needs and concerns of WMATA riders who are seniors and persons with disabilities. G, recommend improvements in the accessibility of WMATA services. H, aim for a high level of rider satisfaction and higher level of service performance within the fixed route and paratransit services with WMATA. And I strive for a high level of public confidence in WMATA. And then we have two new added ones in, and then we'll stop here for discussion, because I think that will take us up until next meeting after we discuss this section, because I know there will be comment. So the new J we have is recommend the AAC and WMATA collaborate to improve safety for senior and persons with disabilities. Yes, we will change it to persons with disabilities and seniors who use Metro Bus, Metro Rail, and Metro Access services. And we also inserted a new K in blue. Recommend the AAC and WMATA collaborates to ensure a high level of diversity, equity, inclusion, and accessibility, in parentheses, DEIA is the acronym, in our conduct and behavior, and strive to incorporate DEIA, which is your diversity, equity, inclusion, and accessibility principles and recommendations that go before the WMATA board. With that, is there any comment or questions about that in terms of the goals of the AAC?
This is Anu. Paul, we have three people, four people with their hands up. Dr. Posner, Tina, Doris Ray, followed by Philip Weintraub. So Dr. Posner, go ahead.
Yes. On J, just repeating what I had said earlier, that recommend the AAC and WMATA collaborate to improve safety for seniors and persons with disabilities who use Metrobus, Metrorail, and Metro Access services. This will improve service for all customers. And then under A, oh, I'm trying to go back to A, Paul.
Can you scroll up? Yep, scroll up to A.
Okay, thank you. Work with the board of directors and WMATA staff each year to develop an AAC annual work plan, because that's something we have always done. We have always requested that staff come to us first before a mistake is made, and then we go to them. And we have always, traditionally, at the first meeting, met with the chairman of the board and the general manager to get an idea of what they would like the committee to do. And then, as you know, the work plan evolves over the year. We're always adding or removing things from the work plan, but I would include staff and the GM in developing the annual work plan. That's it. I'm done.
That's a good add, Phil.
All right, next person.
Okay. Next is Tino and then Doris.
All right. Tino, you can unmute yourself. Hold on. Tino's, was it? Yeah, Tino did yours. Go ahead, Tino.
If you could move the screen down to, I can't see it at the moment.
What number?
What letter?
J and J? K.
Okay, the new J and K. J,
you know, without getting into whether we're being overly woke or not, I'm glad that it's in there that there should be a high level of diversity, equity, inclusion, and accessibility. And that's why I've been urging that we really reach out to, in particular, the Hispanic community, because that's one of the largest, say, bus riders for sure. When I came on board, there were two Asians on board and one Hispanic. And now there's only one Asian and no Hispanics. We really have to get ourselves. There's no requirement that we be woke, that we be diverse, equity, inclusion, accessibility. But we ought to take it upon ourselves to do that, especially since such a large number of our customers are Hispanics. And in particular, they have language needs that we ourselves can't fix by ourselves.
No argument there.
No argument there. Thank you.
Thank you.
Point well taken. Doris, you're next.
Yeah. I just wanted to, I associate myself with comments, but what I wanted to suggest is that as we're describing, you know, our mission and what we do, that one of the ideas that I think that we should put in there is that we are the chief instrument of civic engagement and public input in the development of facilities, you know, resources, policies of the transit authority for the disability and aging communities. Something language like that, and it's in line, again, with the priorities in the community for civic engagement, and reflects the fact that we have public comment, that we seek out input from disability groups and that we send those recommendations on to the board of directors and the staff.
So what I'm hearing from you, Doris, is somewhere where it talks about the public comments, try to work in civic engagement is the key humming piece you're talking about to really emphasize that. Is that correct?
Yeah, so I was just getting the idea of purpose being an instrument for civic engagement.
Got it. Okay, so well taken. Go ahead, Pat.
I was just going to say that a couple of things, perhaps. In some of these areas where you think wording would be useful, you could take that section, since we have it, and provide wording so that we can look at your suggested wording going forward. Certainly we can share updates with the committee in between meetings so that we can move this along a little faster also.
Okay. And so, our next person we have on new for
Philip Weintraub and then Steve Kaffin.
Okay.
And Paul, I think after Steve, then we're going to have to move on.
Yes.
All right.
Philip, I believe, put his hand down. So.
Yeah, I have one. One of the things I've seen on there is to improve services for people with disabilities and seniors. It should that also mean everything like the rail and also the reliability of metro access, because I've heard people complaining about that their metro access is late, or I might see somebody in my apartment lobby frustrated that their metro access never showed up. And I thought that reliability should be one of the improvements that they're talking about.
Well, point well taken. Thank you.
Okay, Steve, go ahead.
Okay, thank you. Just some semantics, which have perhaps some important meaning. Let's go back to Paul to A.
A. Okay.
Yeah. You know, instead of saying working with, why don't we just say develop in conjunction with the board of directors each year?
Okay.
You know, consider that, because it's more active and it's what we actually do.
That's point well taken, because this is recorded. I can call right back afterwards and work with Pat and the team in the new, and we can tweak that. That's a good point. Thank you.
All right. The second thing is, consider switching B and G. B is important, but I don't know whether we want it to be the second goal, while G is a very powerful second goal. So you might just consider that.
Ah, okay. That we can take that friendly
all
amendment.
Right. B is something you'd put at the end. And the last thing I have to say is in line with what I just said. Let's move down to the last two that were added.
Yep.
You know, maybe instead of, you know, is that we recommend the AAC and WMU collaborate, or do we ensure or urge or collaborate? I'm just wondering what we actively do. And Paul, you may want to just take a look at semantics there. Okay.
Okay. Because usually we want
you're
to
better,
collaborate.
You're better at words than I am.
I would say when we're working with WMATA, we want to collaborate with them. I mean, we could say urge, but collaborate is
well.
More...
I just don't recommend that. That's fine. We make lots of recommendations. I'm looking for something a little more active there, because both of those are very important.
Mm-hmm. I like collaborate too, Paul. I think that's good. Good.
Okay.
So,
thank you,
Paul. What page did we get to, Paul?
We got to page 4 here.
Oh, not bad.
So I think given the time, we probably want to make a natural break stop. What do you think, Pat?
Oh, absolutely. Yes, we have another important topic to hit, and we may not get to the subcommittee reports.
That's fine.
But we do need to get to our next topic.
Yes.
Okay. So thank you, Paul. And just so the committee knows, and thank you for great participation tonight. I think we're going to have a stronger document with all this input. And we will be continuing this over the next few months. And this is about where I thought we'd get today. So that's good. Okay. Thank you. Anu, our next item on the agenda is the
Hedinger
Award for 2024, right? And I know, let's see. So I know we are going to be, the award will be done in December for 2023 this year, which is correct. Good. Yes. Okay. So we have received, go ahead. Anu, well, you are aware of what we have received. Do you want to discuss that?
Thank you, Chair Sheehan. This is Anu. So we had requested all the AAC members to put in their nominations for the Hedinger Award 2023, as we have been discussing it for many months now. Last week was the deadline to submit nominations. We did receive a nomination by Steve Caffin, and we would have gone forward with the voting process. However, since we have a nomination, the voting process basically becomes a moot point. So I would ask for Steve Caffin to share some information about nomination. Steve?
Nothing like a monopoly. All right. You know, I nominated Tino for the 2023 Hedinger Award. And briefly, let me explain why. It's based upon his lifelong commitment to the ideals of Mr. Hedinger, which I know you have publicized, his 5+ years of very proactive service on the AAC, and his excellent performance over several years as chair of the Bus Rail Subcommittee. Also, if you look at his bio, he has a lifetime of public service, and the personal traits that he has exemplified, which include integrity and commitment, positiveness, and very important, and a decency, are also important factors in the determination. You know, Tito's a volunteer, a very avid volunteer of AAC activities. If there's something to volunteer for, Tino has been there to volunteer. And that's just the starting point for Tino. He then comes back, ensures that we understand the issue, those who haven't attended, and he certainly takes a proactive interest in opinions. Quickly, the WAMAC system, Tino was involved in actively when we were looking at prototypes for gangway style considerations. He made the trip to New York. When we were looking at the digital displays in Metro buses, Tino was there. Tino has been a strong advocate of ensuring that Metro reduced the financial losses due to non-payment of fares from the time he participated in Fort Top. And he also helped us in many respects by giving us somewhat of a perspective on what other systems were doing, so that we weren't looking at things in a vacuum. Of course, one of the best examples is the gangway style cars, but there are others too. He's also on the Better Bus Initiative, and I don't think anyone has done more and he's the Maryland representative in interviewing the first two phases. And in fact, we've seen pictures of Tino with his Better Bus cap and his T-shirts, out soliciting input. I think also, you know, he's assertive in investigating solutions, and he proposes these solutions to us. And I think the agency is better for many of his ideas. In addition, and this is a big one for, it's certainly a big one for me, Tino has gone over the years, and particularly in the last two, out of his way, above and beyond, to keep us involved and informed, providing us with a stream of relevant information. I think I have more emails from one person, Tino, in the last couple of years, besides Anu, that I have with any other people. You know, and to this stream, he adds his personal commentary, too. So it's not just news releases, but also his commentary and what's important and what's not important, too. I think, you know, if you've been with Tino when he's interacted with WMATA officials, you know the esteem that they have for him in the way they speak with him and solicit his input. I recall the inauguration, they came up to Tino and talked to him and asked him if he had any ideas with the new administration. I was quite flattered because they certainly didn't ask me. You know, the other aspect, this is very quick. If you look at his bio, what we've seen here over the years is a replication of the way he's lived his life, you know, with the ideals of a life of service. We know, or we've heard that he was the EEO director with the Commission on Civil Rights for the East Coast, a very challenging position. He directed the Head Start program and the Youth Corps centers in perhaps the most difficult area in the country, the South Bronx. He served with the Department of Housing and Urban Development for 16 years. You know, you can see that the organizations that Tino picks are organizations with the kind of mission and the kind of purpose that we share on the AAC and with which Mr. Hedinger certainly exhibited and for whom this award is named. So for these many reasons, I nominate Tino for the award this year. Thank you very much.
Do I get a chance to say something?
Well, I'll second that nomination. So Tino, you are our candidate for the Hedinger Award. And I would like to ask a vote of confidence to Tino from the AAC. All those in favor of Tino being our award winner for his lifelong contribution to disability principles and what he's done for WMATA, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. I'm not even going to ask for any oppositions or abstentions, Tino. Congratulations,
Tino.
Well, thank you. Can I just say, first of all, you all know that Steve and I often chat together and we're actually friends, but I had nothing to do with what he just said. I didn't know he had done so much homework about other things I did. But thank you, Steve. And I thank the committee. It's been a passion of mine to be of service, and particularly in this capacity to be of service with seniors, for seniors and for people with disabilities when it comes to our WMATA transportation. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Tino.
Thank you.
Tino, job well done.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I would like take a quick moment to thank the committee for reducing one step of voting because we just did that. So congratulations, Tino. It's 7:20. Doris, I see your hand is up. Is it from before?
Hello.
Did you raise your hand up, Doris, or is it from before?
Yeah, I had raised my hand, but the chair took that away from me. But I had actually raised my hand to very enthusiastically second the nomination, but to also say, just for at least from my perspective, I think Tino has not only reflected Richard Hettinger, but actually, and I knew Richard Hettinger, and he was the president actually of ECNV, where I work at one point, but when I was on the board. But I think Tino even exceeds Richard Hettinger in his commitment to disability rights, the ADA, and civil rights, and I really appreciate the opportunity of working with.
Thank you, Doris. And yes, again, congratulations, Tino.
Oh, thank you again. Thanks, Doris. I really appreciate it. I'm going to break down and cry if you don't stop.
Very nicely said, Doris. That was good. Very nicely said.
So, Chair Sheehan, we have 7:21. Would you like to go ahead and take a few minutes for each subcommittee report?
I think we might be able to squeeze them in if they're short.
And Pat, can I go first? Because I got
yes, you can. Out of
here. All right, and I'll make mine short and sweet. This is Paul Simonfort, Metro Access Subcommittee. We had a very robust subcommittee meeting. We had a lot of customer comments at the end. It was not time for it, and I hope that Metro Access staff reached out to those wonderful seven hands that were not able to speak and at least get their comments in. I know they have. They're very diligent at doing it. I just want to put that out there. At last meeting, we talked about the Metro Access call center, Where's My Ride, and improving, you know, being able to, you know, a longer wait hold when we call in, and what they're doing to improve that. They gave a presentation about the hiring of more significant amount of staff, about 65, and we're eager to see, you know, when that all happens and takes place. Our director talked about the new digital assistant and when that is, hopefully will be rolling out. And some of us AAC members are going to trial this. Also, she gave an update on the issues with the web booking and how there will be by October 2nd, a solution that will be done technology-wise to improve that experience for us that use web booking. We'll be seeking the opinions from some of us AAC members to try that out. Beyond that, Ms. Rush, did I miss anything else major from that meeting?
No, sir.
Wanted to make this short and sweet.
Is that one thing, Mr. Chairman?
Oh, yes, you may.
Just real quick, I think you said the 2nd. It's October the 11th. I believe we're going to roll out the AI, although you all are testing it.
No. I said at some point you're rolling out the AI. I said October 2nd was the y'all going to roll out the thing for the online booking was what Ms.
Paul
was.
And then I wanted to just add, I know Ms. Rush did, but this week we did roll out the minivans. I know Ms. Rush had a trip on there.
Oh, yes.
And I tried to schedule you for a trip on
there. And yes, we will be discussing that at the meeting. That is, I will be giving some feedback about that experience. And hopefully I'll get a few more rides in just to, you know, get a little sample.
We're going to get you some more trips. And to other members of the committee, Ms. Bush and others should be expecting some trips on the minivans as well before the Metro Access subcommittee meeting.
Because I've already pre-booked trips all the way through Friday. So
looking forward to it.
Good.
All right, beyond that, let me not go. Thank you so much, Pat. Now you can go over to Tino or Steve, who's going to give this
award winner. Yes.
Sure. In September, we in the bus rail subcommittee meeting, we dealt with the blue, orange, and silver studies that are going on that Mark Phillips addressed for us. We also, what came up was the bus stop flashing light, which had been proposed. And even before the meeting, we discussed it amongst ourselves, and word got around, and they switched to what we thought would be, well, we knew it would be better, and that was, instead of a flashing strobe light, just a colored light, in this case, a red light, which would signal to the bus drivers to stop and wait for people rushing up the metro stairs to take their bus. We also had a discussion with Sarah Meyer about the wayfinding signs. And last of all, we had Matt Johnson of the Montgomery County Transportation Office talk about bus stops. Let me also add that, I forgot. But in any event, that's what we dealt with, and you all will see the minutes that Anu worked up, and please read them, and then we'll formally ask for a vote on approving them. So that's about it.
Thank you, Tina. Any questions for Tina? Good. Very good. Very pleased with the work that the subcommittees are doing. Thank you very much, and everyone's attention tonight to going through and putting together good comments on the bylaws moving forward. That was very constructive.
We sincerely thank you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you.
This is Sandy, and I apologize that I don't have a raise my hand button tonight. I just want to thank Christian Blake and Carol Lopez and Doris for clarifying the issue about seniors aren't necessarily eligible for Metro Access, but the historical perspective of why seniors are addressed, you know, helping seniors, why the AAC committee is trying to speak up on their behalf. Seniors have what might be considered a hidden disability, getting older and everything is a little bit harder to do. It doesn't make you disabled, but you might be slower and it might be more challenging. So yes, seniors are definitely still within our purview. So thank you all for explaining that so clearly tonight.
Oh, good. It's always been part of the equation since we started way back with Dick Hettinger. Yeah. So good.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Tina. Very good. Anu, do you have any closing comments for us?
Yes, sir. Thank you. Just want to say that any members of the public, if you would like to make any public comments, you can email us at metroaacchair@wmata.com or call and leave a message at 202-962-1100. Thank you.
Very good. I am at 729. Do I have a motion to adjourn?
So moved. Go ahead.
Second?
All
those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? I guess we won't have any of that. Very good. Thank you, everybody. A great meeting. Appreciate everyone's attention and participation. Thank you.
Thank you.
Glenn, are you still on there? Glenn Millis?
This is Anutino. You have your hand up. Did you want to say something? No. Okay.
Just this, that just one last thing about the Hettinger Award. The rules and the history of that doesn't allow for someone like Tammy Duckworth to be nominated. And I tried to nominate her last year. And then when I looked at the rules and who has been nominated, people of national prestige who have really contributed so much to our cause, they're not eligible. So at some point we should discuss the eligibility or the possibility of having people like Tammy Duckworth considered for the nomination. I wrote that in lieu of a nomination, but we really need to look at that.
Yeah, and certainly that's a discussion, Tina, I think that we can have in lieu of the person who was nominated tonight. I thought that was kind of interesting that that was on there. But I think the nomination we had tonight was a perfect choice. And certainly we can have that discussion going forward, you know.
Yeah. Again, congratulations, Tina.
Congratulations, Tina.
Congratulations, Tina.
Congratulations, Tino.
Thank
you. Yeah. See you next week. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thanks, Anu? Everybody.
Okay, bye-bye.
Anu, are you still there?